It's a trap!
Hello and welcome to episode number 85 of Radio TCX,
your weekly source for X-Wing news and strategy.
I'm Tim Dugan.
And I'm Carson Ray.
So, Carson, X-Wing news has been a little slow over the last couple weeks. We got the announcement of Wave 12 back at Gen Con, and then a couple weeks ago, we got Wave 13 also announced, but since then, we haven't seen any spoiler articles or anything new coming on the X-Wing front.
Right, and I'm sure when those spoilers come, they'll come pretty quickly back-to-back, as Wave 12 is anticipated to release sometime this fall, winter. So I'm sure we'll be slammed covering those news articles then. So right now is a great opportunity to focus in on some of the core concepts of the X-Wing game and continuing our series on secondary weapons.
Yeah, last week we talked about torpedoes and missiles. This week we'll be focusing on one of the more interesting secondary weapons, the cannon slot.
Yeah, not as commonly used as missiles or torpedoes, but definitely an effective one when used right.
Yeah, so let's get to it. So to start off our discussion, we're going to look at how cannons differentiate themselves from other secondary weapons and how they differentiate themselves from primary weapon attacks.
Right. So there's two different types of cannons. There's ones that are going to boost your damage output.
We're talking things like heavy laser cannon or possibly mangler cannon.
Right. And then there's these control cannons, which are often going to slightly lower your damage output, but add some sort of control effect to the cannon attack, whether it's giving out an ion token or a stress token. So definitely beneficial things. Cannons sort of replace your primary weapon attack. They're in arc shots, and a lot of them don't have a specific range restriction like missiles or torpedoes.
Yes, much like other secondary weapons, they do incur an additional point cost, but unlike things like torpedoes and missiles, they don't have a finite quantity. So once you have a cannon, you basically have this recurring effect for as long as your ship stays on the board.
Now, like all secondary weapons, you're going to have to pay some amount of points for them. Missiles and torpedoes, because they were just a one-time use, came at a pretty good rate for the amount they boosted your attack. Now, with cannons, you're going to have to pay the full price because you are going to get unlimited recurring uses for as long as your ship survives in the field.
You can get a missile or torpedo that gives you 4 attack dice at a value of 3, 4, maybe 5 points. Whereas if you want a comparable number of dice coming from a cannon, you have to go with something like a heavy laser cannon, which is a lot more expensive at 7 points. And it also has an additional effect that holds back its damage potential a little bit.
But cannons are a lot easier to use. So with missiles and torpedoes, we talked about how it's difficult to get that target lock set up in the right range band to still be able to be within the range to fire that missile or torpedo. Cannons don't really require anything of you except that you paid that point cost up front in your list building. You don't need any target locks or focus tokens to be able to use the cannon. You just have to have the ship in arc, and most of the cannons work at range 1 to 3.
Yeah, so in this regard, it very much does effectively replace your primary weapon and attack, where anytime you would be able to attack with your primary weapon, you're probably going to be able to attack with your secondary cannon upgrade. They also have built-in effects, a lot like torpedoes and missiles, but those effects tend to be less focused on increasing your accuracy or damage output and more focused on some other subtle effect, whether that's giving out a tractor beam token or an ion token or changing your damage. So Mangler Cannon converts a hit result into a crit result. That's not actually pushing out more hits necessarily, but it does make those hits sting a little harder.
Right, and then in the cannon slot, we also first see the auto blaster effect, which means your hit results can't be canceled. So definitely some powerful effects within the cannon range. And those, of course, kind of come into list building to see which ones are actually appealing for what your goal is.
Well, and the last big element of the cannon secondary weapon, which is also true of other weapons that can shoot out to range 3, is that you get a range bonus denial. And we talked about this a lot last week, but that is one of the most important parts of using upgrades like this, whereby when you're shooting at range 3 using a secondary weapon, you're denying your opponent that extra die they'd get from a normal primary weapon attack. And that is very impactful when it comes to being able to push more damage out on your opponent's ships.
Absolutely. If we just look at the unassuming ion cannon, 3 attack dice cannon at range 1 to 3 for 3 points. Now, a 3 dice attack for most ships is not going to be boosting their damage output, but at range 3, it is. Now, an ion cannon has the drawback of only being able to do maximum one damage in attack, but for many three dice attacks, especially at range three, your expected value is probably less than one damage for most of your targets.
Yeah, so oftentimes for things like flechette cannon or ion cannon, the fact that you have to cancel down that damage to one isn't that huge of a detriment, just because that's probably about the average amount of damage you would push through on most primary weapon attacks at range three.
Right, and so the range denial bonus is not all of why you take an ion cannon, but it's a big part of it, of what makes it worth that cost. I mean, and this just gets further perpetuated when you take the cannons that deal even more damage, like a mangler cannon or a heavy laser cannon. Then those cannon attacks do feel pretty similar to missiles or torpedoes on the right ships, as far as spike damage on that opening engagement at range three.
Yeah, putting this all together, cannons actually do a lot to differentiate themselves from things like torpedoes or missiles, where you're not necessarily getting that kind of spike damage, though you can get pretty close to it with things like a heavy laser cannon or a mangler cannon. This recurring effect, though, if you can get a lot of value out of it, can prove to be really powerful over the course of a game. So when talking about cannons, I think we should dive a little bit into the history of not only when the platforms that could carry cannons came out, but when the cannons themselves started showing up in different waves.
Yeah, so cannons started out in Wave 2 with the Fire Spray or Slave 1 expansion. And we saw from the get-go that those two types of cannons we mentioned before, both the damage-increasing ones or the ones that are adding control effects, were persistent from the beginning. We had the heavy laser cannon boosting the Fire Spray's damage output, and we had the ion cannon giving it a control option.
So the heavy laser cannon is a 4-attack dice, range 2-3, 7-point cannon that reads, attack header, attack one ship. Immediately after rolling your attack dice, you must change all of your crit results into hit results.
Yeah, an ion cannon is a 3-point, 3-attack dice cannon with range 1-3 that reads, if this attack hits, the defender suffers 1 damage and receives 1 ion token. Then cancel all dice results.
Yeah, so this was really cool that right from the get-go, we saw kind of the versatility of this slot. I think unlike torpedoes and missiles, which generally just focus mostly on doing damage, obviously there are some exceptions, we really got to see the diversity of what the cannon slot could be right from the get-go in Wave 2.
Yeah, and it's also nice to see that this core design choice from Wave 2 has remained constant throughout the history of X-Wing. We'll see that as we go through all the other cannons.
So then looking at Wave 3, we actually expand kind of the repertoire here with a new cannon and two new platforms for the cannon. We saw the B-Wing and the Lambda-class shuttle expansions come out, both of which have a cannon slot. And then we also got to see the Auto Blaster cannon come out with these expansions.
Yeah, Auto Blaster is a 5-point, 3-attack dice cannon only at range 1 that reads, your hit results cannot be canceled by defense dice. Now, this is also going to include evade tokens, which are just adding defense dice. The defender may cancel critical results before hit results.
Now, this is one of those cannons that I feel like is kind of misleading. It seems a lot better when you first look at it than it is. We've seen that what we call, I guess, the auto blaster effect is a very powerful effect in X-Wing. Auto blaster turret is actually a pretty strong card, even given its range one restriction. This card has never quite met up to its potential for a number of reasons.
One, it costs 3 more points than an auto blaster turret. 5 points is a lot to pay for an attack that you're really only going to get maybe 1 or 2 range one shots with a ship in a game. So really, this is kind of like a one-use card in many cases. And range one in arc is a lot more to ask for a secondary weapon than the range one turret comparison.
Well, I also think there's something to be said about the 3-attack dice on this upgrade card, given that most cannon carriers do have 3-attack dice, and at the time it was released, all the cannon-carrying ships had 3-attack dice. There was kind of a weird trade-off at range 1, where if you were just attacking with your B-Wing or your Lambda-class at range 1 with your primary weapon, you'd actually get 4 dice, so you had a higher theoretical damage output. Whereas if you're going to use the Auto Blaster, sure, your hits can't be canceled, but you also are capped out at a 3 damage maximum. So you're not getting the full benefit that you could possibly get from a range one shot. And even as we've seen more cannon platforms come out, Auto Blaster's never really made a huge dent in the game. And I think just the value's not really there for how much it costs and what it can do.
In Wave 3, We have B-Wings, Lambda Class Shuttles, and the Fire Sprite that all have access to cannons. For most of those ships, cannons were just not worth the upgrade cost to boost their damage output for how long they were staying on the table. If you invest a lot of points in a B-Wing, that's going to be a pretty big target for your opponent because it's not that hard to remove if they focus on it early. And a Lambda Shuttle has a hard time keeping ships in arc outside the first few turns. So investing more points into its attack is often not worth there. But in wave four, I think we see the first cannon carrier that really has good uses of cannons. The TIE Defender didn't come with any new cannons, but a 6 hit point, 3 agility platform. Now that's something worth sinking some points into to boost its damage output.
Though I think in the end, the TIE Defender ended up very much having the same problem that the B-Wing did, where that the cost investment wasn't always necessarily worth it for the platform, at least until a little later on when the...
Well, not necessarily. On the higher end of the pilots, those named ones, when you give them the heavy laser cannon, they kind of turned into a build-your-own robot. Not the most efficient way to do it, but definitely something that could be powerful in the hands of the right player. And then, of course, later on, they'd get access to the TIE D title, which really made them potent cannon carriers.
Yeah, we didn't see the TIE D title until the Imperial Veterans expansion came out just after Wave 8, but this made them pretty effective with a lot of those cheaper cannons. The TIE D title is a 0-point TIE Defender-only title that reads, once per round after you perform an attack with a cannon secondary weapon that costs 3 or fewer squad points, you may perform a primary weapon attack.
Yeah, so currently that's Ion Cannon, Flechette Cannon, and Tractor Beam. And boy, Tractor Beam TIE D, quite a powerful thing.
Well, yeah, and I think there's something to be said for all of the potential control cannons you can use here with this title. The ones I've seen actually most prevalent are probably the Ion Cannon TIE Ds, where not only are you getting that control effect, but they also do get to do a little bit of damage with that Ion Cannon and then follow it up with a primary weapon attack. And there's some really good platforms for this on the TIE Defender. Pilots like Colonel Vessery, who can, after they perform an attack, immediately acquire a target lock on the Defender if the Defender already has a red target lock assigned to it, and then they can spend that target lock right away in order to push out a lot of damage. Being able to do that multiple times over multiple attacks gets you a lot of good value from that pilot ability.
And Wave 5 saw another great cannon carrier in the YT-2400. Here we get a Rebel large base ship with access to cannon, and actually the first 2 attack dice ship getting access to the cannon slot, kind of making the cannons a must-include for the YT-2400.
Yeah, for the amount of points that you had to invest into a YT-2400, that 2 attack dice wasn't going to give you quite enough damage output, even if it was a turret weapon. But the YT-2400 also brought another innovation in how cannons were used in the form of the Outrider title. The Outrider title is a unique 5-point YT-2400 only title that reads, while you have a cannon upgrade equipped, you cannot perform primary weapon attacks, and you may perform cannon secondary weapon attacks against ships outside your firing arc.
Right, so at the cost of losing all of your primary weapon attacks, this is going to turn any of your cannons into a turret. So if you have an ion cannon equipped, you can fire any range ion cannon in a 360 arc. Pretty powerful. More powerful, of course, with the heavy laser cannon, allowing you to do a 4-dice attack, but at the cost of any ships at range 1 of you, you can't attack.
But being able to use a heavy laser cannon as effectively a turret weapon kind of overpowered the negative effects you would get from not being able to shoot anybody at range 1. Not only were you getting 4 attack dice at up to range 3, you're getting that range 3 bonus die denial on your opponent, which means you could really push out a lot of damage with what came to be known as like a super dash.
Right, and this has made the Outrider a tournament staple, off and on since its release.
In Wave 6, we saw the release of a whole new faction in the game of X-Wing, and with that new faction, 2 new carriers for cannon upgrades. We had the Aggressor, IG-88, and we also had the M3A Sick Interceptor.
Right, and on the launch of the Scum faction, they tied for the Imperials for the most cannon carriers, and then shortly after became the prominent cannon faction.
Well, and along with these new cannon platforms, we also saw the release of 2 new cannon upgrades.
We got the Mangler Cannon, one of the go-to boosting damage output cannons, is a 3 attack dice cannon for 4 points. with range 1 to 3 that reads, when attacking, you may change one of your hit results to a critical result. So the opposite wording of a heavy laser cannon, where instead of turning your crits into hits, you now get to change your hits into crits, making those pretty devastating attacks if any damage slips through. And if you roll a natural critical result, then you still get to turn another hit into a crit, which now there still is, I think, a pretty even debate on which is a more effective damage boost for the point cost of the cheaper Mangler cannon that works at all three ranges versus the heavy laser cannon that has a higher max damage output with four attack dice, but you're rarely getting critical hits through.
Well, and again, when this wave released, we saw another cannon platform that didn't have a native three attack dice. Sick Interceptor only had two, and you had to load it out with that heavy sick title in order to get that cannon upgrade slot. But we also saw another cannon release with this wave, the Flechette Cannon, which was a new control effect cannon. It has three attack dice in range 1 to 3, comes in at 2 points and reads, attack, attack one ship. If this attack hits, the defender suffers 1 damage, and if the defender is not stressed, it also receives 1 stress token. Then cancel all dice results. Now, stress effects in X-Wing have proven to be very effective. R3A2 is one of the more commonly used stress-dealing effects. We've also seen really effective lists using Tactician. Flechette Cannon isn't the most optimal choice if you're going for a stress control effect.
Right. There's a very big difference between just dealing a stress token and only being able to deal it if they're not currently stressed. That turns off things like punishing push-the-limit ships by double-stressing them if they use push-the-limit.
Yeah, unlike other stress control effects like R3A2 or Tactician, Flechette Cannon treats stress more as a binary state where either a ship is or isn't stressed. So every time you shoot it, even if you hit, it checks to see if they're already stressed, which if you're going for control effects, that doesn't help you that much.
Now, it does still make your opponent prioritize green maneuvers the following turn and turn off their ability to K-turn, or it will still turn off effects like Expertise. So there's definitely still some use of Flechette. And in a mixed control list, I think throwing in one Flechette Cannon still has some utility. It's just something you don't want to spam, because that second Flechette Cannon is a lot worse than the first one you put in your list. Yeah, and then let's circle back to those new cannon carriers. We got the M3A Sick Interceptor using its heavy sick title to get the cannon slot. And this ship remains the cheapest cannon carrier. So you can get a heavy laser cannon on a Cartel Spacer or Sunny Bounder for just 23 points. Yeah, so that's a great rate for a cannon. And then we also got the Aggressor, the IG-88 ship, a ship that really utilizes the full range of cannons.
Yeah, this ship actually has two cannon slots, so you can actually choose to load it out with both a damage-dealing cannon and with a control effect cannon. I think more interestingly and more impactful to the game, we also saw a really cool pilot ability that synergized really well with cannons. IG-88B has a pilot ability that reads, once per round, after you perform an attack that does not hit, you may perform an attack with an equipped cannon secondary weapon. And of course, of all the IG-88 pilots across the Aggressor, if you put on that IG-2000 title, they can all share their pilot abilities, which means up to two of your ships in a standard 100-point X-Wing list could get this IG-88B ability.
IG-88B, of course, great friend of the show. And yeah, turning all of your cannons into a gunner effect, very powerful, especially when you're threatening four dice attacks with heavy laser cannon or a control effect, be it an ion token, stress token, or tractor beam token, if any of those hits actually connect.
Well, and gunner-like effects combine really well with upgrades like fire control system, which the Aggressor can take. So if you perform that initial attack, whether it's with a cannon or not, and it doesn't hit, you can acquire a target lock with that fire control system and then immediately follow it up with that second cannon attack, which is now modified with that target lock.
It's an experience I think every X-Wing player deserves. It's a great feeling.
At least if you're on the dealing end and not on the receiving end.
Exactly.
Looking at Wave 7, we didn't get any new cannon upgrades, but we did get a new cannon platform, again with some really cool cannon synergizing abilities. So the YV-666 is a large base ship that came out, and it had that cannon upgrade slot, and two of its pilots can actually use cannons in really cool and interesting ways. The most cannon-specific one is the pilot scale 6 pilot, Moralo Evol, who has the pilot ability, you can perform cannon secondary weapon attacks against ships inside your auxiliary firing arc.
Yeah, similar to what we saw with the Outrider title, anytime you increase the degrees of your firing arc with that cannon, very powerful. Obviously, 180 degrees, not as great as 360, but still pretty great. We also got Bossk, which reads, when you perform an attack that hits, before dealing damage, you may cancel one of your critical results to add two hit results. Not specific to cannons, but it works pretty great with them. Whether this is a Mangler cannon that, you know, for a cheaper rate, you can kind of turn into a heavy laser cannon by changing that critical result that you easily get with the Mangler cannon into an additional hit, or adding other synergies that give you critical results, like calculation with a heavy laser cannon, now you can get up to a 5-dice hit from a heavy laser cannon.
Yeah, in spite of not seeing any new cannons come out in this wave, there are some really cool synergies, and I've seen some YV666s do some pretty nasty stuff with some well-placed cannon upgrades.
In our last cannon carrier, we got in Wave 8, the G1A, or Mist Hunter, also gave us the Tractor Beam, which is a 3-attack dice, 1-point cannon, range 1 to 3, that reads, if this attack hits, the defender receives 1 Tractor Beam token, then cancels all dice results. So this is a control cannon to the extreme, as in it's going to do no damage. Only value is that Tractor Beam effect, which, to its defense, can deal damage on its own if it rolls them into an asteroid. And this is, of course, the only cannon that the G1A could take.
Yeah, the G1A can only take this cannon if it uses the unique Mist Hunter title, which gives it a barrel roll, as well as giving you the ability to equip the Tractor Beam. I will say, I think there is kind of a fair trade-off in the Tractor Beam effect, because it is probably the most powerful control effect potentially in the game. I've experienced firsthand what a Tractor Beam can do to a small base ship that's near an asteroid, where suddenly you get in that just right position, you get hit with that Tractor Beam token, and suddenly you're dropped on an asteroid, you might take a damage, and you're not shooting that round.
Right, and I mentioned earlier, Colonel Vessery with that TIE D title, first hitting you with that Tractor Beam cannon, then after your agility is reduced, hitting you with a primary attack, and then two other Imperial ships at high pilot skill hitting you with other attacks while your agility's down. It's pretty powerful.
The most recent cannon that actually came out in the Sea Rock expansion, and I haven't had as much playtime with this cannon. It concerns me for a number of reasons that I don't think it's maybe the most efficient cannon, but we saw the release of the Arc Caster come out, a new Scum and Villainy and Rebel-only cannon upgrade for 2 points.
Yeah, for 2 points, you get a 4-attack dice cannon at range 1 that reads, if this attack hits, you must choose one other ship at range 1 of the defender to suffer 1 damage. Then flip this card. On the reverse, it reads, at the start of the combat phase, you may receive a weapons disabled token to flip this card. So there, you know, on just the front side, that's a 4-attack dice hit at range 1. Now, it's probably comparable damage output to Auto Blaster Cannon at a much cheaper cost. 2 points is a lot better than 5. And if they have a friendly ship near their defender, you get to splash 1 damage over. So that could be worth it. But if there's no other ship near them, then the damage is splashing onto your ship.
Yeah, and I think that's a really important distinction here. Since it doesn't specify enemy ship in that text, if you're the only ship at range 1, you're going to take some damage back at you. And I mean, I just don't see a lot of strong value here. Even at 2 points, I think the range 1 limitation is still pretty harsh, because how many opportunities are you going to necessarily have in a game to use this cannon? And I think the recharging element of the cannon makes it a tough call, because you're going to have to take that weapons disabled token. Sure, if you don't have a shot that round, that makes sense, but sometimes games are so close where you're K-turning and trying to keep your opponent in arc, you're not going to be able to afford that opportunity to take that weapons disabled token to flip this card over.
Yeah, and on a sick, which is like the only ship I could consider using this on, I think in many cases, unless there's another ship that you want to splash that damage onto, you're probably better off taking your 3-dice basic attack, which won't hurt you at all, versus the chance to deal 1 extra damage to your opponent. I just don't like this cannon. I think even if it cost 0 points, I wouldn't take it. I think at 2 points, that Flechette cannon looks a lot better.
So that's a look at the history of cannons thus far. One thing I actually like about the cannon upgrade slot is I think it's really maintained its identity of what this slot is supposed to do. A lot of other upgrade slots, like torpedoes and missiles, have kind of blurred the lines in how they're supposed to function and how they're supposed to differentiate themselves from other cards. Here, I feel like every time we get a new cannon, it feels different and it adds something new and interesting to the game. Hey, Radio TCX listeners, time for a quick Patreon update. We're not quite ready to announce our October raffle winners, so we'll be announcing those in next week's episode. But a huge thank you to everyone who's become a patron of the show. If you're interested in becoming a patron and being eligible for future raffles, please consider going on to patreon.com/radiotcx and becoming a supporter of the show today.
And now back to the cast.
All right, to cap off our discussion here, we have to answer the big question is, should I use cannons in my list and how can I use cannons effectively?
Right, and this really breaks down into the two camps of cannons, either the control cannons or the damage cannons. There's going to be different reasons you're going to want to use each of those. So we can start off with the control ones. They're cheaper.
That's a huge part of it. Looking at what the control cannons are, we're talking about ion cannon, flechette cannon, tractor beam. They do come in quite a bit cheaper, 1 to 3 points, basically, and they all have pretty powerful effects if you're able to land them.
Right, so with their cheap point cost, it's easy to slip one or two of these into a list. I mean, there you can take a jousting list and just spice it up with a little bit of control, giving you a way to handle some of your tougher matchups. Repositioners often are difficult for your jousting list, so throwing on something that's going to stress them and limit their maneuver options, or build up some ion tokens and really cripple their maneuverability, can be pretty powerful. Or starting off your salvo with a tractor beam cannon, reduce their agility, put them in arc of a lot of your ships, and then follow up with a lot of other firepower. All pretty good uses. They also, if you want to go more full in on the control, can compound pretty well with other control factors. Maybe mixing up 2 ion cannon B wings with 2 ion cannon Y wings, giving you quite a long area of coverage of ion control, could be pretty powerful, where you get the full range 1 to 3 on the cannon side for the ion effect, and then you get the 360 coverage at range 1 to 2 with the ion turret.
I think something that's important to note, though, when you're using these control effects is you want to be careful about how much damage output you're sacrificing. Obviously, destroying your opponent's ships is your main goal in a dogfight, so you don't want to make sure you're able to push that damage through to get those ships off the board. Control effects can help you get there, but you got to look at the fact that most of these control effects have damage caps. In the case of ion cannon or flechette cannon, they're not going to be able to do more than 1 damage per shot, and in the case of tractor beam, it's not going to do any damage if it hits. It's just going to do its control effect.
Yeah, but Tim, it doesn't matter how much damage you've dealt if you walk their ship off the board.
That is true, but that's a lot harder to pull off consistently than I would like it to be. All that being said, I think control effects function a little bit better on small base ships where you're generally going to be a little bit cheaper and losing that extra damage potential is less detrimental than if you put it on a big point heavy ship.
Oh, absolutely. That damage sacrifice for, say, a B-wing or a SIC taking a ion cannon or flechette cannon is way less than, say, an aggressor or YV666 sacrificing its attack output on that control effect.
Now, looking at the other end of cannons, we have the damage cannons, mainly looking at things like heavy laser cannon or mangler, but also the arc caster to a certain degree. When we're looking at the investment here, a lot of times these cannons do come in on the more expensive end, particularly heavy laser cannon at 7 points is a pretty steep investment for an upgrade card. So we got to look at a couple factors when we're deciding, is it worth putting these upgrade cards on my ships?
Right, and I think the first important factor of this concept is getting over the illusion of infinite uses. So we say, yeah, you get repeated uses of your cannon. There's no limit on the amount of times you can fire it. On the upgrade card, it says there's no limit. But the limit is the survivability of your ship. How many turns is that ship actively engaged in combat and firing before either the game's over or it's destroyed? So on a ship like a Seek, you can put cannon on it. You spend a lot of points on cannons for it relative to its point cost. But 4 hit points for 3 agility it's not the highest in survivability, whereas on an aggressor, you get 8 points defended by 3 agility with access to auto thrusters. So there's a lot more security in the investment of more points into a cannon on those large base, more survivable ships.
Yeah, it's very similar to deciding to use torpedoes or missiles on your ships. You really have to decide, am I going to get an amount of value out of equipping this upgrade at this cost equal to the amount of points I'm investing, right? Whereas if you're like a Sick and you can get a heavy laser cannon on it, it's going to be just above 20 points, but if it's going to die in a shot or two, it's probably not worth that 7-point investment. Whereas a sturdier chassis, like a Fire Spray or an Outrider YT-2400, you're going to get a lot more durability out of that, and it's going to make that point investment more worth it.
Right, and so on ships like the Lambda Shuttle or B-Wing, it's definitely, in most cases, not worth investing more points in them, where they have a decent damage output on themselves, and their survivability is just not that great. The Sick, sometimes it's not worth investing a lot of points in, but because it's so cheap and its basic attack value is 2 attack dice, which is about as low as you can get, unless you're a Hawk, there is some value for bringing that up at a decent rate. For 23 points, you get that 4 attack dice Sick. There's something to be said about that, and it's a ship that pops up in winning lists every now and then. Not for everybody, but just by weight of dice can be the right ship at the right time. In most cases, you want the most survivable ship that's going to be worthwhile there. But in some cases, mainly the Sick, at the other end of the spectrum, its damage output is just so bad that it needs that cannon. And I guess the same is true with the Outrider as well.
Yeah, I think you just overall, you got to look at it from, am I really going to get my point value out of equipping this upgrade card? Because you got to remember, in a lot of ways, a cannon is not an essential card. The times you're using it is the time you're using your primary weapon ability. So if you're going to invest those extra points, even if it's just a couple points, you want to really make sure it's worth that cost. Because in a standard X-Wing game, those points, even a single point, is incredibly valuable. Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of Radio TCX. If you like the show, please consider going on to facebook.com/radiotcx and liking our Facebook page.
You can follow us on Twitter at Radio TCX Podcast.
And if you really like the show, please consider going on to iTunes and leaving us a 5-star review, along with a comment saying what you like about the show and why other people might be interested in listening.
This week, we want to give a special shout out to Ulri, who said the show helped him catch up on the state of the game for a new player, and it entertains him as well.
Thanks, Ulri, and thanks to everyone who's already left us a review on iTunes. It really means a lot to us.
If you want to support the show directly, please consider going on to patreon.com/radiotcx and become a supporter of the show today. It really means a lot to us.
Again, guys, thank you so much for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.